Right, as we consider God's word, let us commend our time of study to the Lord. Our gracious Lord, help us to hear what your word is saying to us and lead our thoughts as we consider how it applies to us. But we ask all this in your name, praying that you would be glorified as we hear and answer in obedience your word and the exhortation to follow you. For we ask it in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Now, when we look at this letter that Paul wrote to the Romans, we've got a letter from the apostle to the people at Rome. And what I want to do today is look at who Paul was, the messenger, and secondly, what that message is. Very two simple things: the messenger and what that message is. And I want to read from verses 1 to verse 4. And you can't really do that grammatically correctly in this, because verses 1 to 7 is one long sentence. Paul was great for huge long sentences. So I'm going to read the parts that we know as verses 1 to 7. Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. So let's look at this messenger. Who is Paul? Paul is an apostle. And apostle in the original language means a sent one. Somebody sent. He's had a commission. But this commission came from God. God sent Paul. And you all know the story of Saul. Because Saul, brought up as a Jew, had decided as an adult to persecute Jesus' followers. To persecute and to destroy and to eliminate from Judah and from Galilee and from the Holy Land and from the world the good news of Jesus and his church. That was what Saul of Tarsus, as he was known, wanted to do. And he was on the way to Damascus to undertake this task of getting rid of the Christians and the Christian faith and the good news, the message of the apostles, the message of the disciples. He was on his way to eradicate it until he met Jesus on that road. And he saw the light. And having seen the light, he recognized the darkness that he was in. So here we have a messenger with a message. A message that was totally opposite to his original way of life. And in the Apostle Paul's experience, we see a transformed life. A life that no longer follows the way of his original intent. It's a life that has been totally transformed. And the direction of travel of his mindset, his heart set, his whole being, his whole commission was totally altered. So, at one point he was heading north until he met the Lord, and the Lord showed him the wrong direction he was following, and he is now transformed. He's going in exactly the opposite way. He's going south. He is following a new path. But he is a messenger sent with this message. When we look at the words that the Bible uses to explain or describe the apostle, he's a delegate, a messenger, one sent forth with orders. And it was specifically applied to the 12 apostles and then to Paul. And in a broader sense, the Bible also applies the term apostle to Barnabas, Timothy, and Silvanus. But in particular, with respect to the New Testament, Paul seems to be the one, the apostle that we all think of, the apostle Paul. We think of the others as disciples, they were apostles, but we have in Paul a specific apostleship, a specific messenger, because so many of his letters are so critically important in the New Testament teaching that we have to give him this place where we recognize him as the one who was used by God so greatly as the apostle. And Paul would never put himself anywhere above any of the other apostles. In fact, he states that he is the least of all. But he is an apostle sent by God. And we have to recognize that sending, that commission he received, because he received it directly from God. And if you go back and look at the earlier passages in Acts where you see Paul's conversion, Paul's early experience as a believer, you cannot be anything but convinced that God spoke to him directly and changed his life. And in the first century, these apostles were small in number, and the people that they taught were relatively small in number also. But from that small number of people, this good news, this message spread. It even reached Scotland. It even reached North Keswick. It even reached Knockbane. It reached Strathpepper. It reached the Isle of Lewis. It reaches across this world. So powerful is the message that Paul was given. So powerful and so convinced was Paul of the power of this message that his whole life was transformed. And in the first century that meant something, because the persecutor, the one who was originally persecuting Jesus' followers, became the persecuted. He is the one who was the focus of the enemies of Jesus. He was the one who was the focus of the hate of the Jews, of the hate of the Romans, of the hate of the people who followed the way of the wicked world, the way of Satan, the way of the devil. The people who opposed the truth of the gospel, who opposed the reality of humankind. Because what did Paul preach? He preached that we're all sinners. I asked the youngsters earlier on, who's ever been to a doctor or a dentist? And we all have to put our hands up, because we see in ourselves illness. We see in ourselves sickness. Therefore, we're all in need of healing in one way or another, physically. We all have accidents. We've all scraped our knees, cut ourselves, and we needed to heal. And if we're fortunate, we do heal. But there's something of far more importance than the physical illness, the physical ailments that beset us. And Paul got to know this for himself. He recognized the sin within him, the darkness within him, the disobedience to God's ways, to God's words, to God's truth, as he followed the lie of the Jews, the lie that spoke of Jesus as an impostor and not as the promised Messiah that the word of God promised. But when we look, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, Paul saw himself as a servant. He didn't see himself as important. But critically and very, very importantly for Paul and for us, he saw Christ as super important. He saw Christ as of essential importance. Because as Paul will tell you himself, for him to live is Christ, and to die is gain. In other words, for him to be living, he's got to be living the way that Christ wants him to be, because Christ is his all and in all that he does. Now, we're going to come back to this point later, but I want you to consider what Christ means to you. Because, boiled down, there are two types of people in the world. The people who follow the way that Paul has discovered, that is the way of Jesus. And there are the others who choose to ignore it. So we have here Paul, who recognizes the value, the importance, the supreme importance of Jesus Christ, and how he was called by Jesus to be an apostle. And this is critical for you to understand. It was God who called him. It is the supreme being who called him. And what he's also telling you in verse 2, that he's been called according to the gospel that was promised him throughout the Old Testament. This is convincing him that throughout the Old Testament, this is what was being promised by God. Look what he says. Paul, who's a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle, set apart for the gospel of God, which he promised beforehand. That's what God promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures. In other words, if you go through the Old Testament, what Paul is talking about here, the promised Messiah, Jesus, is being pointed to in the prophets of the Old Testament. In other words, what he's reminding you of is that Jesus is the fulfillment of everything in the Old Testament. Now, you go to a psalm, and you'll see like in Psalm 22, which talks about the difficulty of sin and the oppression of sin in our life. But you see how God can take us out of that darkness into a place of peace. And you can find in the Psalms and in the Scriptures the way of the sinners. Psalm 1 speaks of, blessed is the man who follows God's way, but the sinner is going to be judged. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction according to the Newtonian laws of physics. But in the law of the Word of God, obedience results in a promise of everlasting life. Faith results in a promise of everlasting life. But disobedience results in judgment. Following the way of the world and disregarding the way of the Bible will result in judgment. And even at the end of this first passage of Romans, we found that where the world goes its own way, which is opposite to the way of God. So there we have the first century messenger, Paul the Apostle. But I'm hearing you asking yourself, okay, that's okay for the first century. That's okay, AD 33 up to AD 500, whatever. We're in the year 2021. So I'll ask you the question today. Who are the messengers with God's word? Who are the messengers who bring God's word to the world in 2021? Who are God's messengers today? Well, Paul still speaks through his writings. Because what's critical here is the writing that was written down on that paper by Paul is the writing that God told Paul to write. And you now hold the Bible in your hands. So when I hold the Bible in my hands, and when I read it, I read the writing that Paul wrote, but I hear God's voice. So who has the Word of God today? Well, in a very, very, very real sense, you do. You are in Knockbean, North Keswick Church, this afternoon, and you have heard the Bible being read. And I am holding the scriptures in my hand. So who shares the message of Jesus today? Well, who's holding the word of God today? Now, you may have the Bible on your phone, on your iPad, on an app. And the Bible that you read on your app, if it's the ESV or the NIV, the Bible is the Bible is the Bible. If it's been faithfully copied as the apostles wrote it down, as God wrote it down. And one thing I'll say in the passing is that throughout the generations, God has preserved his word so that you have it today in the same way Paul had it. It might be on your app, but it is the same word of God. So I ask you again, who holds the word of God today? Well, the church does. And when I mean the church, I don't mean the building. When I say the word church, I mean the men and the women and the boys and girls who believe the Bible, who believe what Paul believed, that they have been called out of darkness into the light of Jesus. So in a very, very, very real sense, you are the messenger of God's word today. And what I am saying to you is what the scripture says to you, that you are to broadcast this word of God today. Now, where I grew up, if you met somebody on the street, you'd meet somebody who says, anything fresh, anything new, any news, there's Kalasur. You would ask that question of somebody, have you heard any news? And you'd invariably, oh yes, yes, oh so-and-so's not well in hospital, or oh so-and-so's had a baby, oh it's great news, and you'd share the message, the news of the day. And that's why you bought a newspaper, because people wanted to know what was happening. You'd read the newspaper, you'd hear the news. So I'm asking you today, with respect to the principle of being a messenger for God, I'm asking you a question. If you are a believer in the Lord Jesus, when did you last give the good news or share the good news of the scriptures with somebody? That can be a very difficult question, or a very embarrassing question, depending on the answer. Because what we have in Paul is a messenger that was devoted to sharing the word. And in our context, we have ministers who are called to preach the word. And preaching the word means to explain what the Bible means to a congregation, to a subgroup of God's people, so that they are prepared to understand what the Bible says. But more importantly and more critically, so that you are prepared to share this good news. Because the Bible speaks of the church as people who are set apart from the others in this world, as God's people. In Acts chapter 13, where the Holy Spirit said to them, while they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, set apart from me Barnabas and Saul for the work which we have called them to. That was them being set apart. But then when he had set me apart before I was born and who has called me by his grace, Paul again remembering the calling of the Holy Spirit, the calling of God from heaven. The harvest is great, but the workers are few. God calls his people to be workers, to gather in the harvest. So pray to the Lord who is in charge of the harvest. Ask him to send more workers into his field. And why would I say this applies to you? 1 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 9. For we are God's workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. You are the church of God. So in your life, in your context, you've got to make a decision. You've got to decide whether you're on Paul's side, whether you're on God's side, on the side of Jesus, or not. And that's a big challenge. That is a difficult challenge. Because when you read the letter of Paul, and read part 1, chapter 1 of that, you'll see that Paul speaks of the world as a dangerous place for believers. But the world in which you live in is still that dangerous place. But you are safe. You are special. You are important to God. And there is an imperative on us, as the holders of good news, to share it. When did you last share some very exciting, great news? If you hear something that's really special, oh, did you hear? Great news. I want to tell you about it. There is no greater news than the news that Paul is sharing with us here today. So in a very real sense, the church, the members in Knockbane Free Church, are the messengers of the scriptures today. Your minister is set aside and apart to preach. But he can't speak to everybody in Knockbane, everybody in North Keswick, everybody in this congregational boundary area on his own. Which is what we're here to do. We're here to help spread the message, share this message the way Paul did. So I'm asking you the question. Are you prepared to share what Jesus is talking about in the Bible? What Paul is saying is the good news. Are you prepared to share it? Now that could be with your brother, with your sister, with your mum, with your dad, with your son, with your daughter, with your best friend, with your colleague in school, with your colleague at work, with your next door neighbour. Are we prepared? Now, being prepared also means, in addition to being willing, being able to explain, because Paul explains things. And we need to be able to explain what the Bible says and how the Bible is applied in our day-to-day lives. Paul goes in there to speak of the way that sinful practices had happened or started happening in the world. And the Bible teaches us about how we ought to live our lives. Go to Deuteronomy and read the first passages in Deuteronomy that speaks of God's law, the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments in one tablet speak about how we should relate to God. The second tablets speak of how we should relate to others, to our neighbors, to our parents, to our children. So I'm asking the question, are you prepared? Are you willing to be messengers for God in your lives in today's world? Now it's interesting. What is your responsibility as a Christian in your day, in your life? Well, Acts chapter 9 speaks of Jesus was called Paul to be an apostle. Sovereign choice of God to choose Paul, as God chooses the church. We had three ladies from the Govan Hill congregation speak at our WFM meeting a number of months ago. And they all said the one thing in slightly different ways. Because these were three Glasgow women who were able to say, look at what God does when we do what we can. And these were three ladies who were very humble, who weren't hugely qualified or academic, but they were willing to share the good news. Look at what God does when we do what we can. And what was very obvious in these women was their concern, their compassion, their love for people in their community. And what was very much as important was that the people in their community recognized that same concern, that same love that these people had for them. And that's what Jesus had. He had a care. He had a compassion. He had a concern. Remember, as he looked down on Jerusalem, as he walked in there towards his own death, he wept tears of compassion for these people. He was sorry for these people because he was seeing them as sheep without a shepherd. We're at lambing time. Is there anything as cute as a wee lamb? A wee lamb gambling about on that field. And when you see a wee lamb struggling in the snow, you want to care for it. You want to take it out of that snow, out of the cold, and you want to bring it into your warm hearth, warm it up, feed it, nourish it. That is the shepherd's compassion for his sheep. And that compassion that is clearly and evidently shown to the people is reflected also in the people who recognize it, in those who've gone out of their way to love, to care, to show concern, to share the good news. There's another fellow, Jeremy Marshall, who was the chairman of a big bank in England, and he was diagnosed with cancer. He ended up with severe cancer. But he had a very lively face, and he saw past his cancer, he saw past his illness, and he saw God exactly the same way Paul saw God. And he was asked at one point to go to a football ground where he'd been following this football ground for many years, and he was asked at half time to speak to the assembled crowd. And he was going to speak about how Jesus helped him in his life, in all the difficulties in his life. And he was given a few minutes to speak of his faith. And he was shaking in his boots. He was trembling because he didn't know what to say. And he said in an interview, "It's when we realize that I can't do it, it's then that God uses us." So what I'm saying to you is, as Paul saw himself as the lowest of the low, the greatest sinner of all, look at what Paul did in the strength of God. So I want you to be encouraged, to realize that it's not in your strength you can share the good news, it's in God's strength. But you are the messengers of God in your lives, in your day, in your generation. So that's the messenger. Paul the apostle and the apostles in their day. But in a very real sense, you in our day. Me in our day. So what is this message? Go back to the very beginning where it says, that promise through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures concerning his Son, who was descended from David according to the flesh, and was declared to be the Son of God in power according to the Spirit of holiness by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord, through whom we have received grace and apostleship to bring about the obedience of faith for the sake of his name among all the nations. What is our message? Christ and him crucified. That was the summary of the reformers. What is your message as a believer in the 21st century? Christ and him crucified. Christ, the crucified Savior, the resurrected Savior, the living Savior. The gospel has binding authority. In other words, the Bible as we read it binds us to obedience if we are followers of the Lord. The good news from God came from heaven. It is the message that will save mankind from ruin, to salvation through Christ. And it's the proclamation that we must share with the Lord, with the people of this world. People in this world are in a mess. They're in a dilemma. They are now being exposed to COVID-19, to this virus that has killed millions around the world. Have you seen the pictures of India with these poor souls who are burnt openly, having been, their bodies are being burnt because they've died as a result of this pandemic? People have died because they've caught this virus. But people are dying because of the sin that Adam's disobedience brought into life. Because we are all going to die, or we will be changed. We will all enter eternity sooner or later, and none of us know the day or the hour when our time ends on earth. And what we need to realize is the message of salvation is Jesus Christ. Come to him and you will be saved. It's an imperative for every believer to trust it and to be willing to share it. You know the saying, 4 months between planting and harvest, but I say, wake up, look around. The fields are already ripe for harvest. The harvesters are paid good wages, and the fruit they harvest is people brought to eternal life. Because that is the end result of the gospel message. Conversions. People being transferred or changed from the darkness into light. No longer following the way of the world, but following the way of Christ. And we don't talk about strategies. We don't talk about plans that we have. We talk about Christ and him crucified. We talk about giving God the glory. Irrespective of what objectives we have, if underlying anything that the church does not involve giving Christ the glory, giving God the glory, extending his kingdom is all the church should be interested in. And finding ways of doing that is what's important. Sharing the good news, sharing Jesus, is the only way we can be involved in this message, just the way that Paul was. He who supplies seed to the sower and bread for food will supply and multiply your seed for sowing. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. God will provide you all that you need. And when we read God's people who speak of them devouring God's word, and the more you read God's word, the more you study it, the more you eat of the food that's in there, the more you will be wanting to share it with others. Romans chapter 7. I loved the law of God with all my heart. The law of God which takes me to Jesus. Because all the Bible does is take you to Jesus. And then every soul who's introduced to Jesus makes a choice. I choose Jesus or I reject him. I choose Jesus' truth or I reject it. That's all our choice when we're placed in front of the truth of Scripture. We make that choice. And what we have to try and do is introduce others to that place of choice and pray that the Lord will work in their hearts and minds and bring them to this Jesus that we know. And let's do it with joy, because this is great news. This is the good news of Jesus. And why should we be doing this? Because you are all important. You are all very important and very loved by God. John 3:16. God loves this world so much he gave his son, that any who believe in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Which is why we look out into our own communities and in love recognize the special needs of these people. And we have the answer to their situation. We have the solution to their problems. They are found in the Lord Jesus. So we have the messenger. We are the messenger. We have the message. Jesus Christ and him crucified. come to the Lord and you will be saved. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, we give you thanks for the message of hope that we have in Scripture. Teach us to be able to share it, we pray. In Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. We'll close our service by singing, by listening to the words of God as we have it in Psalm 126. 126 that speaks of the sharing of God's word. Restore our fortunes, gracious Lord, like streams in desert soil. A joyful harvest will reward the weeping sower's toil. You might not feel great going out with the good news in this world, because the world is very nasty to God's people. But the man who bearing seed to sow goes out with tears of grief will come again with songs of joy, bearing his harvest sheaf. And look at that promise. That is a promise. All you need to do is be like these ladies in Govan Hill. Do what you can, and look what God will do with that. So we'll consider these. Lord, we give you thanks for these words of encouragement in that psalm, and help us then to take the challenge to ourselves, and in choosing you, in choosing the way of Christ, lead us and guide us in the days ahead, and that your Spirit would bless each one of us and be with each one of us as we seek to share the good news, for we ask it all in Jesus' name and for his